Center. Tickets and schedule at nyadiff.org or at 212-864-1760. ADIFF, where Black Lives Matters. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone. From the county, from another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no.
The jury of your peers, having found you guilty, 10 years.
Come on, get that set.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice, that's what you find, just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning. Hello, this is Roach Brown coming to you live from WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. You hear me, Mike? Okay. Thank you for tuning in. We come to you every Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. We've been doing it for over 15 years. I don't know how we're able to sustain something like this, but it's because of you, the listeners, who've been calling, writing, emailing, texting, and even approaching us on the street about the show. What they like or don't like about it. But thank you anyway. We got quite a following. As usual, we have an interesting show, and the topic is called Boots on the Ground. We will explain what that means when we get into the show. We start off with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Well, let me start off with it. The Supreme Court, federal inmates can't sue correction officers over 2021 alleged excessive force. The court said expanding Bivens would undermine prison operations and duplicate established inmate complaint resources. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled that a federal inmate cannot sue correction officers over claims of excessive force, reversing a lower court's decision and reinforcing longstanding limitations on lawsuits against federal officials. The June 30 decision stemmed from a lawsuit filed by Andrew Fields, 53, who alleged that correction officers at United States Penitentiary in Lee, Virginia, physically assaulted him in 2021 after he attempted to go to lunch without the required movement pass. A federal judge initially dismissed the lawsuit, ruling that Fields could not pursue his claim under the Bivens versus six unknown agents, a 1971 Supreme Court decision that recognized a limited right to sue federal officers for constitutional violations. But in 2024, the Fourth Circuit of the U.S. Court of Appeals reversed that dismissal, allowing Fields to proceed with his Eighth Amendment excessive force claim. The Supreme Court reversed the appeals court decision in a unanimous opinion. The justices held that Fields' case presented a new context for Bivens and that expanding the precedent to cover Eighth Amendment excessive force claims against federal prison officials was unwarranted. Folks, this opened up the door for a lot. All D.C. code prisons are sent to the federal system, and they're being abused, violated, disrespected, etc. I was injured in prisons, and I know what this means, that you can't file to the courts to stop excessive force inflicted upon you by the staff. What rights or what options do men have? So folks who are listening, you got loved ones in the federal system. This is a damaging blow. Then they can beat you and do whatever they want and you won't have any recourse. Please get involved and do something to stop this kind of action from happening. Brett Hankerson, the former officer convicted in Breonna Taylor's case, sentenced to 33 months in prison. Brett Hankerson, a former Kentucky police officer who was convicted in the death of Breonna Taylor, a 26-year-old emergency medical technician, was sentenced on Monday to 33 months in prison. Taylor was shot and killed on March 13, 2020, during a botched drug raid authorized by the Louisville Metro Police Department. A Louisville detective at the time, Hankerson, 46, was found guilty last November of violating Taylor's civil rights by executing a warrant, a search warrant on a home, which resulted in the tragedy. His prison sentence will be followed by 3 years of supervised probation, which would be just one. The Justice Department had requested in the sentencing memo following Hankerson's conviction that he be sentenced with time served, which would be just 1 day. The Justice Department recommended that this cop who was convicted of violating the civil rights be sentenced to just 1 day, followed by 3 years of supervised release. Jennings, the judge said during the hearing that a sentence of no prison time for Hankerson is not appropriate, according to the Associated Press. I want to also add to this particular piece is that Hankerson fired inside of the house where Breonna Taylor was living with the curtains and shades drawn, and he shot 10 times inside of the house. None of his 10 bullets struck Breonna Taylor, but he was sentenced for being for excessive force and violating the constitutional rights. The cops who shot Breonna haven't been to trial yet, or we're waiting for the results of their case. But this is another example of how what a black life mean or doesn't mean. 33 months for murder. Come on, folk. This stuff is not right. This is what we call Juggy Boogie at its finest. Oh, my goodness. Graves near site of Maryland Reform School for Black Children rediscovered. At least 100 mostly unmarked graves, some dating to the 19th century, have existed outside the Cheltenham Youth Detention Center without recognition. The gravestone of William Jones has been pushed sideways by roots and earths in 138 years since he was buried there. Jones, a black boy from Baltimore, was 17 in 1887 when he is believed to have died while in prison at what was then the House of Reformation and Instructions for Colored People. I'm going to read that name again. Ooh. It was called the House of Reformation and Instructions for Colored Children. The facility, now called the Cheltenham Youth Detention Center, is still located across a winding road from this resting place, and they're still incarcerating young black men. For more than a century, their stories have been lost and their graves left to deteriorate. Rows and rows of unmarked cinder block that symbolizes Maryland's long and complicated history with the incarceration of black people. Cheltenham Youth Facility is still there, and right across the road is 100 unmarked graves of young black boys who were incarcerated at the Cheltenham facility. Haitians face deportation to a country devastated by violence and famine. People living and working in Haiti and in the U.S. are questioning Trump's administration's reasoning that it's safe enough for Haitians temporarily living in the U.S. to return to the embattled country, of origin. The Department of Homeland Security announced Friday that it would end temporary protective status for Haitian people living in the United States legally. How can DHS send 500,000 Haitians back to a country that is the most dangerous country in the world? It's crazy, and it's a war zone. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem's announcement was that the latest effort by President Donald Trump and his administration to accelerate the deportation for Haitian immigrants living in the country. The TPS program was created in 1990 to provide people in disaster-stricken countries to find legal short-term refuge in the United States. Haitians are expected to start the deportation September the 2nd. Oh, my goodness. And that has been what we call the grapevine. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the grapevine. And we appreciate you. Also, we want to say that Ben's Chili Bowl closed last week for renovations. And we've normally been doing that show from Ben's on the first Tuesday of each month. And folk, they closed on Monday. And would you believe Monday, they were open across the street at the pop-up. I never seen an operation move that fast, that quick. There's signs all on U Street, across the street, saying where Ben's is currently located. And would you believe, when I went in there Monday, there were like 30, 40 people inside and some outside waiting. So folks have been going out of their way. Also, Giant Food has in each one of the giant stores a section selling Ben's products, all the food. So if you can't make the pop-up, you can't make it on U Street, wherever you live, you can get the same delicious food from any giant food. And they have stepped up to the plate. And I want to say the Smithsonian Museum has designated Ben's Chili Bowl as one of the 20 iconic eateries in America. That if you live, if you come to America, they suggest you stop at Ben's Chili Bowl. And folk, it's one of the few places that you can meet the world. I met people last week from Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Okinawa. They come from all over just to meet Miss Virginia Ali and the folks at the Chili Bowl. So thank you for tuning in. We're in the process of replanning our show, how we're going to do it from the Chili Bowl or where or whatever, but that's to be decided in the very near future. Thank you for tuning in to the Grapevine. And to our lovely friends at the Chili Bowl, thank you for supporting us for all these 15, 17 years on the air. Our hats off to you. Thank you and Merry Christmas. Now let's get to our show. The topic this morning is boots on the ground, and we have three dynamic young men. Brother Edward Tate, he's the director of CRUSE. CRUSE stands for Communities Respecting Everyone's Will to Survive. And Larry Watson of Optimistic Gentlemen and Ladies. And joining us will be Tyrone Parker a little later on. But also we have our co-host, Nikisha Taifa, will be joining the show. Well, she's here right now. Thank you for joining us, Nikisha, and everybody else. The topic is boots on the ground. And good morning to Brother Ed CRUSE. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Brother Brown. How you doing today, sir?
Yeah, I call you Ed CRUSE. I say Ed Tate.
Yeah, I ain't never heard that before.
Me neither. It just popped out, brother. And also a good friend, Larry Watson. He's with the Optimistic Gentlemen and Ladies. That's a group consisting of, which is what it says, Optimistic Gentlemen and Ladies. And these are the old timers who've been working with CRUSE and another organization called Leadership Council for Healthy Communities, and they've been doing a fantastic job. We're going to start off with Brother Ed Tate, the director of CRUSE, explain exactly what is CRUSE about and what it means about boots on the ground. Good morning, and come on, Brother Tate.
Good morning. Okay, thanks, Rose. Hey, Martin, how you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good to see you, sis. And Larry Watson, how you doing, my brother?
I'm doing pretty good, Brother Tate.
You ought to see him, Tate. He's sitting in a big old fat king's chair, like he's King Tut.
Oh, that's Larry Watson.
but that's a big chair you're sitting in, Larry Watson.
Yeah.
Okay, you come know, on, but, Tate.
Yeah, talking about CRUSE, I would be remiss if I did not, reflect, on its inception as it relates to, who we are and what we're doing today in the community. Because in a large part, it has so much to do with the spirit that you brought with Optimistic Gentlemen, with Larry brought, with OGLs. I mean, all that you, all that whole team, us coming together week after week after week, giving shape, form, and structure to an entity that was once a thought and an idea, right? And to have labored and sacrificed and put that time in to produce what we have now, to grow into all that it has the potential to be. I'm just eternally grateful for Mama Joe, for Dr. Chapman, who really spearheaded, one of the main spearheads for this grant coming into inception for us as well. But it's so many that I can name, that have made a significant contribution to the foundation laying of the work that we're about to, build on. So CRUSE is basically Communities Respecting Everyone's Will to Survive. It's an organization that came into inspiration through a partnership with the Alliance of Concerned Men and the Nation of Islam. Because these two organizations' programs went global as it relates to their work in the community, boots on the ground, and having significant impact, right, on thousands of lives that their programs had the ability to reach. And so we thought those two organizations coming together, putting out a call to the larger community of nonprofits that may not have been able to thrive and get the funding and get the technical assistance that they need to be, or that they can be as an entity in the community, mm-hmm. that we join forces and create a united front of community-based organizations that's dedicated to the liberation of our communities, not just going into the communities to put a Band-Aid approach on a hemorrhaging wound, but basically coming up with a structure and an approach that will perform surgery, right, to get to the heart and core of what's going to bring about transformation. And that's really the way we think as a people. Beautiful. Right, how we feel about ourselves, how we see ourselves, you know. And we thought the Nation of Islam, you know, with its amazing outreach component, right, to reach our community, and also with the public safety work and experience that Tyrone Parker has as far as working in the trenches of public housing, because that's where we focus our dedicated our focus and our work at, is in public housing. So that's you know, not to be too, you know what I'm saying, too extensive about it, but that's who Cruz is, and that's the inspiration, you know what I'm saying, that we bring to the table and to the community. But we were so fortunate to, go ahead, Roach.
Well, I want to get to Brother Larry Washington to explain what the optimistic gentlemen and ladies mean and stand for.
Yeah, the optimistic gentlemen and ladies stand for wisdom from the past to brighten the future. So our whole thing was, leave our legacy. What can we do to help our city out, you know? So we want to connect with other organizations to help the returning citizens, because a lot of them are forgotten. They come back to this city and they're lost. They don't know how to navigate through it. So our position is to assist them in helping them to see clearly the path that they need to take while they're home, where they can live the rest of their days in some type of peace, you know, some type of dignity, you know. So the optimistic gentlemen and ladies, we form that, you know, stand to be a backbone for them, because it's important, you know, that we be able to help them and guide them, hold their hand for a while, and then let them, you know, grow again out here in our city. The main purpose is to be like a tsunami or a flood of the spirit and vision of God to assist the people that need help. And there's a lot of people that need help. We are talking about dealing with the children, helping them to grow, to get them information where they can have a better vision for the future. We're talking about the brothers and sisters that are caught up in the drug scene, right? To let them know that we can get some help here. We can have things in place to assist you in the area, make you a better person, make you a better citizen in this city that we live in. You know, we have to be the boots on the ground for them. You know, that's what the optimistic gentlemen and ladies is all about.
Thank you. Also, I noticed that y'all sent a few kids to camp, summer camp, with a group called Young Life.
Young Life.
And they have camps scattered all across the country and around the world. And the optimistic gentleman was able to send a few kids to camp. And y'all been working, and we've been working, because I work with optimistic gentlemen, to see if we can get enough help and resources to send a lot of more kids to camp, because it is just a 1 week time. In fact, the three kids that we sent last summer to the camp wrote little letters, and they said that they wish they can go back. It says the first time they didn't live, there were no gunshots, no police sirens, no helicopters over top. They didn't have to be concerned about stepping on somebody else's turf or territory. They said they never lived violence-free for one whole week at this camp. And they came back, and all of them said, can they go back or can they live there during the rest of the time? So it shows you the importance of changing the environment or getting them in a safe location. And I want to thank you all for what we're doing with the optimistic gentleman. But also, last night, excuse me, I was with Brother Tate over in South Northeast, and we went over to a recovery house. And man, I was really, really impressed with the 15 to 20 guys who were there in various stages of recovery. Brother Tate, you still with us?
Yes, sir.
That meeting last night was off the chain, man. I mean, that's the first time I went to a meeting like that, where everybody has something positive to say. The guys were finishing up courses and as cooks or chefs at Central Kitchen. Guys are going to school. Everybody stood up and gave an affirmation in terms of what model that they live after. And I'm telling you, I've never seen that kind of support from a group of recovering addicts. and I'm a recovering addict. And to see these guys, they really with the hope in their eyes. And when you made your presentation, these guys stood up and said they wanted to participate. A lot of them signed up. And then you got a grant, or two grants, Brother Tate, with the Leadership Council for Health of the Communities. You want to explain what this grant is about and what y'all are trying to do with OGL and the community and Highland Terrace. In fact, you're all everywhere, man. I appreciate being associated and connected with you. You want to tell our listeners exactly what that was about?
Yes, sir, absolutely. So, yeah, we wanted to basically give give thanks to the Leadership Council on Health and Communities and also Dr. Chapman and Sullivan Robinson, because they pretty much are the brokers of the relationship that we have with the Leadership Council on Health and Communities. And, yeah, but the opportunity is an opportunity for us to do outreach for program services that DBH have made available to two of our most vulnerable demographics among Black men as a people in this city. And that's returning citizens, male or female, regardless of when you got locked up. And also those 55 and above that have any substance abuse history or opioid use. Because when you look at the alarming rate of the numbers that we're being wiped out, it's like a silent killer. It's an epidemic in D.C. of the number of 55 and above that's suffering from overdose of opioid and substance abuse. So when you look at the returning citizen population and the mass incarceration rate that basically got waged on us, launched on us in the 80s, we're that same demographic in returning citizens and those 55 and above, because that same demographic is the same babies or individuals that's product of the crack epidemic, right? We're only 30 years from that, and they still got a target on our back, you know? So the fact that they have, you know what I'm saying, identify resources and services to make available to do something to aid and assist those two demographics, I think is a commendable thing. And we are proud to be connected to a work like this, to be able to offer our folks, you know what I'm saying, a lifeline, right, for those that really want to get back on track and make something of themselves, to basically reach out to us and take advantage of these services. You know, I mean, for that population, today, they can't say, ain't no programs, ain't no services, you know what I'm saying, ain't no help. Now, Cruz and the Leadership Council and Healthy Communities have a direct line for you to get the services and the support that you need in housing, in financial, in employment, in transportation, in medical. You know what I'm saying? It's a complete package of wraparound services. And this is what Dr. Chapman has been basically championing the entire time that he'd been on his campaign, was reaching out to that most vulnerable population that's been cut off, right? And really don't have available resources to be able to turn things around and be productive in life again. But this is that opportunity. It's that opportunity. And that's really what the grant is for the returning citizens and also 55 and above to have any history of substance abuse. And the program over at the Recovery House, it was amazing, right? The spirit of the brothers that was there, their openness and receptivity to the information that was shared to motivate them and encourage them to get involved and participate. I think everyone there signed up for the program. Right?
We look for opportunities.
I want to put this out there. Listening to this call, we have to reach out people. We have a goal of 60 participants registered in the program by September, and we're trying to blow that number out the window. When you look at those that qualify, it's amazing and alarming. I'm saying all the people that's around us, that's a returning citizen, that have some history of substance abuse, 55 and above. You know, it's not a hard or long reach for us to be able to extend this offer to those that we know. It ain't for everybody that want it, you know what I mean, that need it. It's for those that really want it, that's ready. We're not trying to go after folks that's not interested in, ain't got their mind made up, not sure about what they want to do as far as next steps in their life. I mean, we want to be patient with them, but those that's ready to take that step, that's what we're looking for.
Beautiful. You know?
That's
beautiful.
Right.
Let me throw this in. Larry Watson, I've been knowing you I just met you last week. You know what I mean? Didn't we just meet last week with Watson?
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you. Watson, you with optimistic gentlemen and ladies and a group of old elders got together to see what they could do. We had the we have the horses, but we don't have the resources. What kind of support or assistance you need or you should be getting to get to reach these elders, seniors who got influence and connections with these youngsters to make sure that we can motivate them or direct them to the right path? What is it that you need with optimistic gentlemen and ladies? Because we're talking about boots on the ground. We're already on the ground. We're doing all kinds of things. What is it that you need from boots for optimistic gentlemen and ladies to make you a little bit more effective?
One of the things we need, seriously, the support of the people that's in the community. Most importantly, we need support of our city, you know, council and whatnot. Maybe we could get some grants that would help us, you understand, to get all the different supplies and different stuff that we need to assist these people that we're, you know, trying to help. So it's very important that we be able to connect with the right people to assist us. Like Brother Tate was saying, if a person don't want it, there's nothing we can do to make them have it, because all of them need it. But we're boots on the ground. We're the ones connected. We're the ones have the pulse on the city to see what we need to do. You know, we just need, like you said, the resources and the help financially to get more things done. We are doing it, but it's in a small square, because like we don't have all the resources that we need as far as financially to get the different things we have. We have a program we like to start up. It's two programs, Optimistic Gentlemen and Ladies like to start up. One is a chess player for kids, but grown-ups can come in too, right? And it's called Kings and Queens. We need the finances to pay, say give a stipend to the young kids that's up at Howard, you understand, to come and help assist us in this area. But that way they can get back and forth, you know, catch the bus or Uber or whatever and get something to eat. They have to have some type of stipend to help them. So we need that resource there. And then the other thing we have is the OA. We're trying to develop that and bring that up off the ground, you know, and that's Offenders Anonymous. All these brothers and sisters are coming home. They are trying to fit back in, but everything has changed to them. So they don't have an understanding. They can come and release these emotions and feelings at a safe place, because a lot of them be bottled up. They get frustrated, then they end up committing another crime. So the key to it is let them know that we are here and they can be open. They got a safe place to come to express themselves and to hear other people, you know, in that same in the same boat that they are in. So these are the resources that we need.
You know, this is interesting in that we got the horses, but we don't have the resources. And I always refer to that elephant story, that they bring these old elephants in to get the youngsters in line. And this is part of that scenario. So we need participation in people to join us. This morning, I just saw on TV that a little one-year-old girl, baby, was shot in the arm. Last week, a three-year-old kid was killed. We can do something to effectuate a change and bring about some of this, but we need help. And the bottom line is we all got to come together. Let's stop all the juggy boogie. We keep looking for somebody else to do it. And here you got Larry Watson, you got Brother Tate, Tyrone Parker be calling in. You got folk with all across the city. And this is amazing. Brother Tate is with the Nation of Islam. We meet the OGLs at St. Luke's Episcopal Church on 15th and P every week. To discuss it. So we bring in, irregardless of your religious background or affiliation, we coming together to see what we can do to make this city safe and save our kids. And it's up to us to save us. And this is what this is about. It's up to us to save us, and we need your help. There's another piece that we're doing, Brother Tate, about the boots on the ground over there at on Eli Place. You want to share some of that, Brother Tate?
Yes, sir. That came into inception with a partnership with the Alliance of Concerned Men under the leadership of Brother Terrence Staley, a good brother of mine. And we basically was able to take advantage of a safe passage opportunity that really gave birth to a a cruise safe passage program that's been an inception now for like 2 years strong, with no grants, no funding, no financial support at all. But just off the pure love and commitment and dedicated for the type of soldiers, you know what I'm saying, that's at the table at Cruz, making that sacrifice on a daily basis. And we definitely want to give a big shout out to the FOI, the Nation of Islam, who serve as an anchoring component of that particular entity of Cruz, you know. So we want to really take our hats off to Tyrone and them, because they have been engaging with the principals, engaging with the parents, the youth, in a very positive and impactful manner. And we also have a statistics sheet where we basically track our engagement and encounters with them for documentation purposes, you know. And then there's a safe passage opportunity that's on the table right now. So we're definitely going to aggressively go for that, because we think that we already got the past performance, right? It ain't us showing up saying, you know, we want to show and tell, I mean, a tell and show. It's a show and tell situation. We already done the work. We already got the structure. We already got the commitment. We already got the boots on the ground. We just, like Larry was saying, just the resources need to pour in. And I'm just looking for the day, right, when we can get away.
Yes, you know.
Let me say this, Rose, because it's so important for all the nonprofits out there, right? I can't wait for the day that we can get away from being so grant dependent, right, on government, local government resources, being in a welfare-minded state of mind as it relates to our programs and services that we say God inspired us to do, to go support and help our people. We can't use that as an scapegoat to not go out there and create ways of raising money. As a nonprofit, we got money all around us, right? We just need to go within and ask God to reveal to us a method and way of going out and getting it. Every business on the corner is a funding source. Every business on the corner is a funding source. They're taking money out of our communities daily, and no one's coming to them, or enough of us are not coming to them with structured and viable programs that they can believe in and feel good about supporting. If you got that, take it to those funding sources, because we are funding them. Why not? They should not fund us if we got something that's built on integrity.
Yes.
Built on getting results.
We got to definitely do for self. This is Sister Nkechi Taiye for listening in. Thank you so very much, Brother Tate, Brother Watson, Avocha Mertin. You know, this is what WPFW is all about. We're at the point where we got to do our station ID. WPFW, your station, your station, the country station, the Black Nation station, and all the other nation stations for jazz and for justice. And Moch, I just got one question to ask your guests as we're talking about these issues of boots on the ground and optimistic gentlemen and optimistic ladies. Tell us a little bit about the optimistic ladies. You know, what's the role? What do the sisters be doing? You know, tell us a little bit about that.
Go ahead, Watson.
Well, the sisters, we're trying to get more sisters to connect with us, right? But what they do, they help us with a lot of the administration things, and there are women out there that have problems too. They can connect and be able to talk to the women, and a woman be free to open up and feel free to share with them. So the women are most important. They are by our side to help give their viewpoint of the past, you know, to bring it to the future. They help these young ladies out here who are having problems and whatnot. You know, these little young girls, a lot of them are lost, and they need someone that they can look up to, you know. So the ladies, they play a very important role, as well as the men, in helping our city, you know, to be healed.
And Gwen Levi out of Baltimore, she's a strong female supporter. She's done the time, and she is talking and walking. She is doing the work. She's amazing, Gwen Levi.
You know, one of the things that catches your eye is that here go people who are already doing what need to be done, and they don't have the funds or the resources to do it. I went over there a few times at the Safe Passage Program, and you got guys standing on the corner walking the kids, escorting them back and forth to the bus stop, to the school, and get in the seat and in the middle of fights, stopping all this kind of stuff. In fact, the response from the kids had been to the kids wanted to wear the same sweatshirts or colors that the Safe Passage workers are wearing. to show that they are supportive of what's happening over there. So we need help or support, because a lot of times people just talk the talk. Y'all are walking the walk with Brother Tate, Larry Watson, Reggie, a whole bunch of guys. Man, my memory just ain't clicking this morning. But we need everybody's help, please, please, people. Because again, this little kid that got shot this morning in the arm at 1 year old, last week the 3 year old got killed. We can stop this. We are the men and the women of our community, and it's up to us to lead our youth to a better or right direction. And to see somebody who's doing it, they ain't waiting on the money. Y'all went ahead, we went ahead and did it and doing it. So you need help to make sure we can keep our communities safe. And I just want to say that I've never worked this hard or this tight. We've been meeting for 2 years, folks. Every week we've been meeting for 2 years over at the Nation of Islam Church on Pennsylvania Avenue and down at St. Luke's Episcopal Church on 15th and P Northwest. And everywhere we go, we got folk coming in and saying, what can he do? How can he help? But the problem has been, as you mentioned, Larry, having transportation, giving these guys stipends or something, and the kids something to get over there, because kids come from all parts of the city, and it costs money to come from southeast to northwest or northeast to northwest. It costs money and a little stipend, and you can't pick everybody up in a little van. So we need support to make sure that we can do what you're trying to do.
And Horace Fletcher, his teacher background, has done an amazing job putting together the chess club concept. And you can visit the website. It's Optimistic Jensen Ladies, LADYS.org, Optimistic Jensen Ladies, and see what's going on and donate. Support us. We need your support.
Yeah, Horace Fletcher, Reggie, all these guys. I mean, they have really knocked me down when I go into the meeting and see these guys sitting there. And these guys are elder and they're up in age, and they come from all parts of the city to see what they can do to help out. And they're commissioned and they're committed to making this this thing happen. Yeah. If you want to call in with a question or comment to join this discussion, the phone number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. The Optimistic Gentlemen and Ladies, and we're talking to Brother Edward Tate of Crewe's Communities, respecting everyone's will to survive. And I just want to say to Dr. Edwin Chapman, He is a phenomenal medical practitioner. Dr. Chapman has been at most of the meetings, all the meetings. He worries us to death to see what we're doing to try to stay on top of it. And he got an office full of patients that he take care of every day, and he won't come out. If he got a schedule with a patient, he said, can you schedule the meeting after I'm finished with my patient? He still is concerned about his patients first. But now the other folks that we're dealing with in substance abuse, recovery, the overdose crisis going on with fentanyl, et cetera, and Dr. Chapman and Dr. Waldo are tying us into this community. We need your help, folks. So if you got any resources, if you know somewhere you can direct these groups, please do. They're doing the work, but they ain't getting paid to do the work that they're doing. And they're taking it out of their own pocket. And the city has tons of money. But like, as Tate said, we don't want to get into that welfare mentality. Brother Tate, how long has Crew has been in operation? And what's your plans for the future for
Yes, sir. Crew's been in inception for, we'd be 2 years, and I think it's going to be 2 years in September. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. You were fading out. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and basically what our goals are for the future is to really cultivate and nurture the concept that we have brought forth from a community development standpoint. Because a lot of the philosophy around Crews is that so much money has been given to public safety, right? And public safety has done a great job as it relates to stopping temporary hemorrhages and wounds that our community has been suffering from. But no true focus has been directed towards community development, where you're actually focused on developing the demographics that make up the family, that make up the community, right? And really getting in there and giving our people a sense of pride and purpose and community again, by way, in the way that we thought to basically implement that was a framework that's made up of our ministries. We have a fatherhood ministry that's dedicated to focusing on the needs of the fathers and making them more viable and strong and present in their family and community life. We have a motherhood ministry, an agricultural ministry. We have a youth development ministry. We have a health development ministry. And so these ministries have been structured around community development, right? And we have different entities that have come on board that specialize in these particular areas to support that particular effort. We're looking to basically bring more life to those ministries and any organization out there that want to partner with CRUZ, because we're a collaboration-based organization, right? Yes. We're not looking for one organization to do everything. And each ministry maintains its own autonomy, right? We only operate under umbrella as it relates to facilitating and executing certain services to the community, see? And so and that's how everybody from a collaboration partnership framework can actually participate and still maintain who they are without trying to, you know, compromise or do something that's outside their lane. So that's really.
We got two calls on. We'll take the first call, a question or comment, please, and your name. And next call, a question or comment, please, your name.
Yes, Roach, how are you? Hello, panel, how's everybody?
Hello, are you there?
Yes, Roach, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hello,
Roach,
are you there?
Yes, can you hear me, Roach?
No. Can't hear you. Can you speak up, please?
Yes, Roach, can you hear me now?
We don't hear anything.
This is Cheryl Walker, Roach.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
No,
yes, Roach, can you hear me?
Now we can.
Yes, Roach.
Come on, you're
yes,
on
Roach.
Air.
Go ahead, ma'am. Go ahead.
Hello. She's at, yeah, we have some problem with it. Okay, we can keep on. Watson, the Leadership Council for Healthy Communities. We've met with them. We've met with CRUZ. We've met with all kinds of organizations all across the city. And you, man, I take my hat off to you, man. You are disabled. You're having difficulty moving and driving, and you don't miss a meeting. And I stand back and watch you pull up and wonder how you can continue to do this. And there's no resources, no assistance, and you're dealing with some serious challenges, man. Why are you doing this, Larry Watson? What make you come out of your house, your bed, fighting all the medical challenges that you have, and yet you are risking your life and your health for this safe passage and for this leadership community to see what we can do to help? Why are you doing this, man? Hold on a minute, Watson. We'll take the next caller. They didn't go to Tyrone. Come on, you're on the air, please. You're on the air. Well, give us Tyrone.
Hi, Tyrone. This is Miss Walker. This is Miss Walker, Cheryl Walker. How is everyone?
Okay.
Yes, I'm calling.
Coach Brown.
Give us one. Go ahead. Which one you gonna give us, Mike?
I'm calling to offer some assistance. I'm trying to offer some assistance. This is Cheryl Walker.
Okay, how you doing, Cheryl Walker?
Assistance. I'm fine. I'm a longtime supporter of WPFW. Yes, I want to give a donation. I want to give a $100 donation for the camp program for the kids.
Beautiful.
And I'm going to do that now with my credit card. And I'm also interested in doing some volunteer work. I'm good with teenagers and older people. I'm a senior myself.
Oh, I thought she was a teenager.
Well, thank you, Roach.
Leave your number with our engineer so I can phone you.
Leave your information with Mike, the engineer, and we'll contact you about your donations for the camp program that optimistic gentleman and lady is operating. Okay,
and I've given Mr. Tate clothes before, and I have some more stuff, and I have some pots and pans. If Mr. Tate would have come and get that, or somebody else would have come and get the stuff that I have.
Leave your number and we'll contact you. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
All right, Tyrone, are you there? Tyrone.
And Big Larry, can I be heard?
What's up, Big T?
hey, Brother Tate. It's a blessing to be able to chime in on what's occurring. You know, when we look at the volunteer organizations that's happening in the city and understanding that we don't have the resources, you know, and knowing that we do have the force but don't have the resources, we do have the manpower and the woman power that's out in these communities making a difference. When you look at CRUZ, you look at Optimistic Gentlemen, you look at Time to Get Involved, All these organizations have come together for the greater good of doing what we can do right now to help our community, to be able to mobilize and help for public safety. So, you know, I won't have a lot to say, but what I will say is that we need volunteers. We really need volunteers to be on the Safe Passage Program in the verge of the schools coming back, you know, backwards and forwards, working between Susan and Kimball. We need volunteers. And the women do extraordinarily great work, Sister Khadijah, in the context of being there to support us, being there to talk to the kids. They even feed our children in the morning during our Safe Passage Program. They feed them. They hugging them. And, I mean, it's an amazing thing to see. So, you know, volunteers is the key that we need, but resources also a mandatory component.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm glad you mentioned time for us to get involved, because we've been working with, like you said, crews, optimistic gentlemen and ladies, Alliance of Concerned Men, and time for us to all get involved, which is we've been meeting at Ben's Chili Bowl with Kamal Ali, one of the owners of the Chili Bowl. And we got several organizations that's a part of this collaboration. So as Tyrone said, we need volunteers. We need resources.
You know, we got enough collaborations in the contents of different organizations that's under the umbrella and all is functioning together. We need the support. We need for the city to take a look at the extraordinary work that's being done on a volunteer basis and give us the support so that we can sustain it and go further. We can stop these shootings. We can stop the killing. We can stop the drug plague to a degree. But just like Brother Tate said, without the help and the visions, and we got people like Larry Watson that's been out there forever doing the work and the commitment of it. Hear our words. Hear our
There you
cries.
Go.
And support us.
Brother Tate, what would you say, what do you see some of our biggest needs are from this collaboration of these community organizations? What do you see that we need to do?
Honestly, Roach, we need to develop from within, right? We have to build the infrastructures, right, that's based on lessons learned from the past. Right, that whatever we set up, it can sustain, you know what I'm saying, the test of time and be passed on, right? I mean, that's where our greatest, you know, benefit is going to be found, by us basically putting ourselves in a position to win, right? To be attractive, to based on what we're able to do from an independent standpoint and maintain the organization and structure to get real results, right? You know, we need to focus more on results. Right. A lot of times, you know, we're so articulate when it comes to talking about the problem, but we spend very little time articulating and spending time on a solution to the problem. And I think the more that we do that from a collaboration standpoint, and then we gotta come to this work with integrity and love in our heart. You know what I'm saying? Not being egocentric, not being self-centered and, you know what I'm saying, motivated, you know, not wanting to be seen. You know, we got to bring our heart, the heart of God, to this work, because we're public servant, public trust individuals doing this work, public trust individuals. And we got to hold ourselves to the highest standards of honesty, integrity, responsibility, transparency. That's what Cruz is founded on, right? And the individuals that we have in our group, you know what I'm saying, constitute that profile as an organization, you know. So I think that's where our greatest, you know what I'm saying, you know, the most important thing that we need to be focusing on right now is a collaboration.
You know, I want to say this. I've been dealing with this this issue about criminal justice, the justice impact in the register, the last 3, 4, 5 decades. And I've been in hundreds of meetings, man, with community leaders, spokesperson, all kinds of agencies all over the city and across the country. And to you, Brother Tate, I take my hat off. You're one of the few gentlemen I've ever witnessed or experienced running these meetings, man, who is structured, organized, professional, principal. You run the meetings, man, with an agenda. It ain't no thing. I mean, it really impresses me to meet a gentleman like you. I wish I'd have met you 30 years ago when I had a little more energy and we could have really done some things. But folk, we got a spokesperson and a leader in front of this organization, along with Kamal Ali and Kenny Barnes down at the Chili Bowl. Folks, we got people who are risking their lives and their health to do what we can for the city. And you get tired of calling down to the city, and they put you on hold, or when they arrange another meeting, and you go talk to a shortstop, and you need to talk to the big top. and you can't get to them, and our folk are dying. So, Brother Tate, my hat's off to you. I want to say this publicly. Man, you're one of the best guys I've ever ran across, mm-hmm. who chaired these community meetings, who was organized, structured, and making sure that we get meaningful results and everybody get a fair shot at the table. So I want to thank you for doing that, Brother Tate. And we'll take our next caller. You're on the air, please.
I got to say thank you, Roach, and give all praise and honor to God, right? Because, you know, I'm just a vessel. Right. It is really.
Well, you're a big vessel, brother. You you need a twin because you one ain't enough.
Praise be to Allah.
We'll take our next caller, please. Question or comment.
Hello. Hello.
Are you? Yes, you're on the air. Question or comment. Your name?
Brother Cherry. I got a comment.
Okay. You got it.
Yeah. Grand rising to you, kings and queens, if the queen is present. Want to give kudos to my beloved brother, Edward Tate. We've been knowing each other for over 40 years plus, and that brother's always been a stand-up type of guy.
Yes, he is.
Type of guy. And I think what we could do together collectively is connect the dots. You know, resources, you know, growing up in Southeast D.C., you know, we grew up in a village where if you didn't have sugar, your mother would send you next door to your neighbor, knock on the door. Your neighbor would, you know, gracefully give you some sugar or whatever it may have been. That's how we managed to be a proud and rising people back in the 70s. I remember that. And now with these nonprofits that we have as a collective, is we just connect the resources to each other. We can get so much more done. And I'm very familiar with Brother Tate. We worked on some projects in the past, messaging the music. Now he's evolved to this new nonprofit, which is definitely needed at this time and place and space right now. So, again, to all those who are out here with their boots on the ground, hey, man, I commend you. And it's going to take us coming together. You know, Brother Tony Browder said it's going to have to take something catastrophic to bring us together. I don't believe we have to wait to something catastrophic to happen. Catastrophe has already occurred with our people and continues.
Yes, it has. Yes. We're in the middle of a catastrophic situation.
Yes, sir. All we have to do is connect the dots, because the tree is only as strong as its roots. It is mm-hmm. only as strong as its roots, and we are branches yes. of one mighty tree. And I think if we connect the dots with one another with these nonprofits, resources that are productive programs that are really helping our people weather the storm, I think that's the key and that's the answer. And again, I commend you, my beloved brother Tate. Continue to do what Allah has placed on your heart.
Thank you for calling in. Man, the time went by so fast. We have 1 minute. Our guest has been Brother Larry Watson, optimistic gentleman and ladies, Brother Edward Tate of Cruz Communities, respecting everyone's will to survive. We've been talking about the LCHC Leadership Council for the Human Healthy Communities. Ben's Chili Bowl. Go ahead.
Yeah, we want to remind you, Ben's Chili Bowl now, go to 1208 U Street, across the street, and there's a branch in Northeast, 1001 H Street Northeast. Visit the H Street branch. And now, as Roach mentioned earlier, in all 164 Giants, the chilies are there. The chili con, the turkey, the chili sauce, go in the bins, still supported through Giant. We thank you, Giant, for your involvement in the community.
Thank you.
And Ben's is at the airport also. I just got off the flight the other day.
All right.
They're all over the city and in the community. Yes. And not only are they providing this, but they are in the community assisting and supporting us with the time to all get involved. This place, the Chili Bowl, is all over the city and all around the world. Thank you. Our time is up. We'll see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Crossroads. You've been listening to Crossroads with Martine Brown, Larry Watson, and our distinguished co-host Nikichi. And thank you, Mike, and thank everybody. Until next week, remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
African Diaspora International Film Festival, Africa World Now Project, and GWU Africana Studies Program present the 18th Annual African Diaspora International Film Festival DC, August 1st to the 3rd, featuring a film on Walter Rodney, films on Black musical traditions, and more. Receptions and Q&As, ADIFFDC from August 1st to the 3rd at the GWU Student Center. Tickets and schedule at nyadiff.org or at 212-864-1760. ADIFF, where Black Life Matters. WPFW, building a better world one broadcast at a time.
Greetings. WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at WPFWFM.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage is the Jazz and Justice Circle. Interested in joining this select group? Please consider a donation of $1,000 or more online at WPFWFM.org. Your donation helps WPFW build a better world one broadcast at a time.
The Birchmere presents Hiroshima, July 24th. Sheila Eat, July 30th. Switch, August 10th. And Jazz, Funk, and Soul, featuring Jeff Lorber, Everett Harp, and Paul Jackson Jr. on August 13th. Details at birchmere.com.
Award-winning former police officer and criminal justice adjunct professor Garland Nixon hosts News Views Fridays at 6 p.m. Tune in to hear a refreshing angle on today's state of affairs and other issues other media intentionally overlook. Find the episodes on iTunes Podcast and Google Play Music. Only on your station for Jazz and Justice, 89.3 FM, Washington.
To get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support Jazz and Justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
From August 3rd through the 16th, during our summer pledge drive, we present WPFW, 48 Years of Centering Blackness. We'll commemorate Black August and celebrate not only the freedom fighters, political prisoners, and those who have perished in the struggle for Black liberation, but also the scholars, musicians, and poets whose work has served the Black liberation struggle. There are forces working to erase the contributions and significance of Black people. Your contribution ensures that WPFW is not erased and that the voices of Black people throughout the diaspora continue to be platformed here. Donations can be made anytime at WPFWFM.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hello, WPFW listeners. Summertime is here. Words, Beats, and Life has the event for your family and friends this season. The second annual DMV Made Festival is happening Saturday, July 26th on the National Mall, a one-day celebration of the D.C., Maryland, Virginia region, promoting the intersections of arts and culture, plus health and wellness. With live music by Go-Go Legends, EU featuring Sugar Bear, vocalist Navasha Deya, jazz fusion trio The Mastetics, Black Folks Don't Swim, Kamau, and much more. Plus family fun zone, poetry and stories.